Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in our politics, and in the spiritual world within and around us. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from Ronan, Montana, and I hope to be joined by Mark Woltz and Anne Ortley. Anne's been out for a while, but she's returning. And I just want to let people know that we will be meeting next Monday, but we won't the following Monday, which is Christmas Day. But we'll be back on New Year's Day, the week afterwards. So Mercury is slowing down. It is in very close to retrograde. It goes retrograde on the Wednesday, on the 13th, I believe I see Mark Woltz coming in. Mark, is that you?
Hello, Heather, it's me.
Yeah, it's lovely to hear you. Where are you zooming? You calling in from tonight?
Sorry, Mark, I missed that.
Where are you calling in from tonight? Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, calling in from New York.
Wonderful. So Mercury is about to turn retrograde, and it is slowing down. And what just happened with our little conversation and the glitches there are classic Mercury appearing to hold still. I find Mercury stationary right as it's turning retrograde, which is on Wednesday exact, but we're already feeling it. And then again on January 3rd, with the give or two, take a day, really slows things down, and it's much more difficult than Mercury full-on retrograde for me. But that process of, you know, the glitches in communication and how do we straighten things out. Have you noticed much already, Mark, about the retrograde pattern?
Now, remember, I have a deal with Mercury. Mercury retrogrades, they're usually about 3 weeks long. And I don't feel the first 2 weeks, but it all hits in the third week. So,
oh, really?
Me and Mercury, Mercury gets to go retrograde, but I get a reduced penalty on the first 2 weeks.
Oh, you are so lucky. You are so lucky.
Mercury
rules my sun, ascendant, midheaven, and is in my first house. So I really feel a Mercury retrograde. But it can also be wonderful. It's wonderfully deep. It's wonderfully juicy. It definitely helps in this holiday season for us to let go of our work. And that can be hard with Mercury in Capricorn, to just sit back and prioritize renewal, family, friends, health, creative process for a few weeks, which is what this time between the worlds is supposed to do. But we'll see. Is that Anne? Do I hear Anne?
You hear me. I just came in on my cell phone. Yep, I'm here. Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Okay.
Nice, Anne. To be back. Actually, the new one is that I've been given dispensation to go do things again. Yay!
Oh, wonderful.
Okay, welcome back.
And nice to be back. I'm here at the turquoise desk in Florida. I came in on Wednesday. So.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. You made it there. Anne has been missing for a little while for some health concerns. She's been taking care of it, and it's so good to hear her back.
Yes, I'm back, and all the health concerns are good. Doctors are happy, no follow-up treatment needed. It was a cancer surgery. They got everything. They were very pleased, and I have to go do a baseline study in a few months when I'm healed, and then, you know, I guess they check on me every now and then, so I'm ready. I'm ready for the next chapter. I figure there's a lot of work I'm supposed to be doing, so it's all good.
Yeah.
I'm still off. I'm still not, you know, given permission to go back to work, but I'm easing in a little. Yeah.
Good and no rolling boulders or other heavy lifting, right?
Yeah, I can only lift 10 pounds. Although I just went past the 10 pound. That was the seventh. Was 10 pounds was real, you know, like I can lift a little more, but I'm being very careful. So when I came to Florida, my friend came with me and carried the cat, you know, because
Yeah.
I was wondering, cats are a little heavier than 10 pounds. Do they know that they're heavier than 10 pounds is the question.
Yeah, well, he's 13, and then with the crate, you know, so he was heavier, but she came down, she carried him. So,
wonderful. We were talking about Mercury retrograde, and, you know, at the beginning we had a little technical glitch. What are you seeing, and this is such an interesting Mercury retrograde, because Mercury retrograde, and it is, you know, within a few degrees of a trine to Jupiter, it's going to retrograde back, trine Jupiter again. And so, you know, that's really good for getting a lot of work done, but we're not supposed to, with Mercury retrograde, depleting and finishing up and reconnecting rather than forging ahead. How are you feeling that aspect, that Mercury retrograde, Anne?
Yeah, well, he's also out of bounds, right?
Yeah,
so
he's
super big. And he also is, you know, Saturn's in Pisces, so he's sextile to Saturn. And, you know, so there's a lot of energy around finishing up things. I mean, that's kind of just like, okay, that has to be done. And then he's going to go backwards into Sag. You know, so he's not in that. And then when he's in Sag, he's a little crazy town because, he doesn't really control himself well in Sag. So it's an out-of-bounds Mercury, the whole Mercury retrograde. So it's, you know, it's like I went to sign in and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot my password. And I'm like, no, I don't. I know. I have my passwords written down. Let me go pull it up. You know, so it's, you know, doing everything twice, dotting the I's, crossing the T's. People, like I had somebody write me a panicky note. Did you know you included that person in the carbon? And I'm like, yeah. Why wouldn't I include them in the carbon? They were on the original. Like, is there something wrong with that? You know, so it's, you know, you're going to get questioned, and also just really double check things, because a lot of times people are doing things and not, you're not going to, you know, you're going to do it and it'll go out a little weird, but trust the process, or you're going to get something and find out something that maybe you need to know. And then how do I handle it? Right. So it's interesting. I remember at one point there was a Mercury retrograde, and one of my friends, we were young, you know, young people in the job we were doing. And she came in, she found out that the woman that she was training was going to quit. And she went over and she started screaming at one of the senior guys. And they were standing right in front of my desk. And she's screaming at him, and she's quitting. She says, and he says, stop screaming at me. This is good. You've been warned she's going to quit. So you're going to have a plan in place for when she quits to recommend to the boss what to do. Her boss, right? Uh-huh. It's not that bad, you know, but it's like you're going to find out stuff ahead of other people, or you're going to notice stuff and other people aren't going to necessarily catch it, which is always helpful, because then, you know, forewarned is forearmed kind of thing is the way I think of it. And it's Capricorn answering to that Saturn in Pisces. Saturn's back at March. So whatever you were thinking about doing in March that you didn't get off the ground, Mercury's now going to come to you and go, okay, now we're ready to go. And you're going to go, I thought it was blocked. I thought I wasn't supposed to do it. And and Mercury in Saturn goes, no, you just needed a little more organization to be able to do what you thought you wanted to do. So it's, don't be afraid to pick up other projects that return now, because you've had 9 months to figure out what the problems were to get them up and rolling. So
and Mercury and Capricorn, definitely take it.
Yes, definitely take it. Yeah.
No, don't really jokes around with Capricorn.
Especially
Mercury.
Don't joke around.
Mercury likes to be light and easy, and he likes to do the trickster thing, but not so much in Capricorn.
Yeah, because Mercury in Capricorn is serious-minded, so he'll really be straight with you. And also, there's, like, no air in the sky, absolutely none. So the only air planet is the South Node in Libra, which is taking away relationships. So all the planets are in fire, air, and fire, earth, and water. So they're just, like, keep your mouth shut and do your job. Don't, you know, just do the work ahead of you. Don't even talk about it. Just do the work. Because if you talk about it, there's no air. I mean, we had the tornadoes. There's tornadoes in Australia. We had the tornadoes in Tennessee yesterday. When there's an absence of air,
the air is misacting out.
Yeah, there's no air. So there, you know, so be careful around no air situations, right? So.
And around, you know, people that are making outrageous comments.
Yes.
Which we're expecting. Now, Mercury, Pluto is now past 27 degrees. It will never come back to 27 degrees of Capricorn again, which means America has officially made it through our Pluto return, just barely, and we've still got a lot to go. I was looking at our progressions for the American chart. The progressed moon will conjunct the progressed sun in 4 months. So we're at the last of that Pisces progressed new moon at the very bottom of our chart. Neptune is trining our Mercury and 24 degrees Cancer to 24 degrees Pisces, or 20, the other way around. But we've just passed this. We're heading into the Pluto return, not of the country, but of our constitution, which happens in Aquarius. It's going to be really interesting to see how this shifts. I think I heard today that the special prosecutor for the government that's been working on some of the Trump trials has asked the Supreme Court to make a decision on what is a president exempt for and what is it not, just kind of skip all of that work and get an answer straight from them before we go on. I'm so glad he waited to ask them until after we were through our Pluto return. But we're still certainly feeling it. We were in the heart of it again all the last 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, should presidents be held accountable? I mean, I think they should. They got a job for 4 years, and then they're regular people again, right? So.
Also.
But that's me.
Also, the description in the description of protection is about the role of the president in their job as president. Doesn't say anything about protecting them in their role as candidate. And the question was, is what happened on January 6th a president defending the country or a candidate running for office? And there's very different rules based on that. So that's going to be an interesting call.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we have the progressed sun, the progressed Pluto, Heather. I don't know if you've looked at the secondary progressed Pluto, but it's in Aquarius for the U.S., that we still have to get through what we've progressed to. You know, are we going to stay a Capricorn place or are we going to become more Aquarian?
Mm-hmm.
So we finished the Capricorn part. Now we'll see what we evolve to.
Right, and how, I see it switching into more the power of the people, but the people are only as smart as they are aware and educated. So I'm asking a lot of groups to now start focusing on, how do even small circles and small groups work on educating each other so they have a similar frame of reference to make decisions with, because it's moving at a top-down.
Yeah.
So all kinds of exciting things this week, so we've got a lot of that great conversation. You did some good traveling. I think even though Mercury's retrograde, that trine to Jupiter will be pretty protective, even though Mercury is out of bounds at the moment, the moon's out of bounds.
Yeah, agree.
Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a real shift on Thursday as we go from the sun in Sagittarius and the moon in Aries to the sun in Capricorn, moon in Taurus on the evening of the 21st. So be ready for that big shift.
Say it again. What's the big shift?
On the 21st, the sun and moon go from fire signs to earth signs that evening.
Yeah.
And we'll feel that rooting in. We see most of the parties for this time of year happen while the sun is in Sagittarius. The sun goes into Capricorn, and it's a return to roots, family, rest, deep, to have that quiet of the first 3 days after the winter solstice when the sun appears to hold still and would just really ask us to just take stock of our life before we start the next cycle.
Right, totally. And yeah, also the sun square Neptune this week, too, is big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's very strong. Saturday, watch out for drunk drivers on the way home from parties.
Yeah.
But also enjoy the magic of it. Just let it be magic rather than try to have deep conversations where you have to come to a new understanding over the weekend.
Yeah.
How else are you seeing that, Anne?
Well, I'm thinking it's got a whole energy of, is that what I really want to do or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's all this stuff of, do I really want that? I mean, I just feel like all these people are questioning what they thought they wanted versus what they have.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, how are you seeing it?
The Sun-Neptune square.
Well, yeah, the Sun-Neptune square is always a questioning of ideals. And I think
mm-hmm.
most people, it leads them to question, what do I really believe? And then if they can answer that, then it's how do I put my beliefs into practice?
Right.
So it's kind of a two-part question.
Yeah, that involves a couple of components to it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also have the sun trining the nodes this week, trining and sextiling,
mm-hmm.
which is helpful because that gives it a little boost to that north node in Aries to say, okay, go, fly, go, you know?
Even though Mercury is saying, no, hold still. So just be careful that you look where you're going when you go. You know, that's what I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think of it as the Paula Abdulis song, two steps forward, two steps back, you know, opposites attract kind of thing where you're like, what are we doing? Oh, we're doing that. Okay. What are we doing? Oh, we're doing that. Yeah.
So the Sun-Neptune square can be a little tricky for, office parties where people get a little tipsy and make out in the corners and have a problem later. So kind of just be a little aware of where you choose to become vulnerable and open, and that what you do, if you're slightly inebriated, you will still be held accountable for. Well, Sun-Neptune
yeah.
can take us away. Great for telling stories and disappearing into seasonal magic. Tough for that bit of follow-through. And
right.
I'm worried about it in political debates and our awareness of what's going on in the Mideast, that it can throw up a real cloud of uncertainty, that we just have to know that we don't know everything and that
yeah.
you can respond to one event, but make sure that you have a full picture before you, ride off with a temper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a weird energy. And it's also that sad, the college professors that appeared before Congress and the woman in charge at University of Penn lost her job and the other ones are all getting picked
uh-huh.
on too. And so it's kind of that Sun-Neptune, like what are the rules? You know, how do they work?
Right.
What's the structure? So it's always a proceed with caution, like should I do that? Maybe I shouldn't,
uh-huh.
And trusting
uh-huh.
that as part of the underlying energy too, So it kicks up.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
I think that it does also in that confusion, just people kind of want to run off with only a small part of the picture. Because the sun is extremely active right now. The solar flares are still very strong. We had a huge solar storm coming through last week. And that just activates everything. It turns that volume up. Everybody's sort of riled up. I think of it like the heat under a popcorn popper. And so any aspect of like, I could have a slight misunderstanding or I could have a really big one. Let's see if we can notice that volume control is up and that we can use these aspects well, but we have to choose to turn down the volume and add that extra bit of rigorous thinking and good questions in the process, I think. And that's whether you think, I've had three clients who thought their mate was cheating and found out they weren't. in this last week. And you know, that's a really good example. Watch that tendency to run off with an assumption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a paranoid assumption is that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Venus is in Scorpio.
Well, because Venus is in Scorpio. I mean, she shifted into, she was in her rulership for, you know, 21, 22 days, and then she dove into Scorpio, and everybody was like, oh, my God, I'm so intense. I'm so impassioned. I'm like, But she's also right next to Pallas Athena, I think it is, she's hanging out with. Let me just look here. And so she's strategic, too. So it's like, okay, pay attention to the strategy, you know. What is that all about? Yeah. So.
And if she's coming to oppose Uranus, which can be wonderful for sudden new relationships, though you need to build in something else in order to make them actually last. They could be easy one-night stands, too. Watch that office party. But it's also that, you know, that you can spark with someone and accidentally wound a relationship you're in. So kind of just keep an eye on that irritable edge or that kind of wandering edge and be aware of what nurtures the relationships that feed you and what doesn't. Another thing about that Venus in Scorpio opposed the Uranus is I'm hearing from a lot of people and feeling it. The I want to be alone, no, I want to connect, no, I want to be alone, no, I want to connect, no, I want to be alone, no, I want to be, and to find a timeshare between those sides, that you, there can be a third perspective that's not either alone or inundated, but something in a balance in between. Have you noticed that, either one of you? That Scorpio-Venus kind of paradox of wanting to connect deeply, but also needing solitude?
Yeah, that's fair. And that is, Scorpio has that paranoid edge, and it also has an ability to go deep, deeper than the paranoia. So, you know, listen to everything.
Yeah, that's good. Anne, are you reconstructing your kitchen over there?
I have an air fryer, right? And I just air fried some. I just want to say there's these things called Ina Garten. Ina Gardner is a cook on Long Island, and she makes these things called cauliflower toast. And so what they are is roasted cauliflower with mascarpone cheese and Gruyere and a little nutmeg.
Oh, it sounds good.
And then you put, oh, it's amazing. And then you put them on English muffins or a piece of toast or whatever, and then you brown them in the air fryer. And so what happened was the buzzer buzzed, and you heard me taking a plate out and another plate dropping. Because they're technically cooked right now. But, yeah, Scorpio, oh, my God, they're so good. And it's like the last, you know, as it sits, I did them like 2 days ago. So we had them for dinner last night. They're like an appetizer. And then I've got just enough for one English muffin worth of them. And then they're gone. But they sit with the nutmeg kind of gets flavored in a little better over the next day or so as it sits. They're so good. So, but yeah, I recommend it. It's Ina Gardens, J-A-R-T-N-E-R, cauliflower toast. It's amazing. And I don't use the paprika.
And that is another thing about Venus and Scorpio. She can make you very hungry. Now, whether that's for food or for sex or for control of a situation or whatever feeds you, watch that you can feel very hungry with Venus and Scorpio and choose how you want to feed your Venus and feed it in a good way. Art supplies are wonderful. How do you play with the, you know, that creative process in your life, and so you're not only hungry but you're also creative with it.
Yeah. Well, Venus in Scorpio is very passionate, you know, and right now she's a morning star. She's rising, you know, before the sun, so she's in a very passionate placement too in the sky. So Venus issues are very strong. I've also had a lot of people have money stuff come up.
kind of unexpected. You know, like one of my students wrote, you know, she was doing a root canal. She's a Saturn and Libra girl, you know, that's 52, and her teeth are dissolving. So the guy hit her up for a $5,000 thing, and then he told her it's another $5,000. She says, $10,000 on her tooth. And I was like, go to my dentist, you know, like, because, you know, it's just suddenly unexpected expenses, you know, because Venus in Scorpio goes, oh, here's some debt. Oh, here's some taxes. Oh, here's some money issues you have to pay attention to, because she is in her detriment. You get a tax bill, you get a whatever, you know. You have to figure out your taxes. I spent two and a half hours, on with my bookkeeper, because I talk to her like once a year, and she mails it into the accountant. So kind of going through, what was that I bought? What? Oh, yeah, I remember. Oh, that was this, you know. So, yeah. Yeah. So it's money also. You know, Christmas, how much are you going to spend? How much do you want to spend? And people are feeling a little tight, or feeling that they've got unexpected expenses as part of, that's part of the deal, you know.
So. Yeah, don't get too optimistic about taking on debt at this time. Venus will say, take on more debt, take on more debt. You can pay for all the stuff you want.
Right. And then Scorpio, he goes, and then I'm going to charge you a lot of interest.
Yeah.
You know, she knows what you want, and she offers it to you, but there's sometimes a cost. There's also, to your point, Heather, about the Christmas party, there's a lot of Bacchus in the sky right now, and he was also kind of a partier, and he's aspecting on quite a few planets, so kind of being aware of, there is a little tendency to go a bit over on the alcohol and drugs. So.
Yeah. I like how Christopher Renstrom said to watch who you get in bed with while Venus in Scorpio. And that's whether it's politics, financially, or romantically, because Venus in Scorpio is queen of hidden agenda. Now, she can be also queen of deep understanding, but it can watch that, you know, when you buy something, are you suddenly in debt, as Mark pointed out, or when you accept a favor, who do you owe and how? You know, just see if you can keep the costs up front where you can see them and discuss them. So we're almost done for the night. Just want to run by people. The moon heads into Aries on December 19th, next Tuesday, which can be pretty feisty. Kind of watch that. Well, the moon is in Aries and Venus is opposed Uranus. The Pisces moon heading in on Sunday kind of deepens our feelings, but can allow people to kind of get real with their feelings. And we know this weekend we'll be heading into some a wonderful Aquarius a communal gathering event weekend. Probably the best for the parties.
Yeah, this weekend.
So
is
we
good
have
for the parties.
60 seconds left. This is Heather Rowan Robbins saying goodbye from Montana. And Anne, do you have any other wonderful bon mot for the people before we go?
No, I think it's just really being, you know, because there's no air, just listen more than you talk.
Good point.
Mercury out of bounds and the moon out of bounds, which it will be the next couple of days, your words can be misinterpreted. So it's always good not, I mean, even then they can get like, well, you didn't say anything. And you're like, well, I know, I didn't say anything. Is that a bad thing? Well, you didn't say anything. Okay, you can sometimes get in trouble for not saying things, but, you know, just be aware that people are really sensitive to everything. And so, you know, it's worth it to ask, like, is there something off? And if they say no, say at least you ask. But
okay,
just be conscious that people are going to take offense.
Oh, I was going to say, watch for the opportunity to check what you're going to say before you say it. So take that little pause, because Mercury in Capricorn will do well to know what's coming out next. Don't just blurt it out.
Sorry. I keep sending texts and then not sending them. You know, I type them and then I go, I don't really want to send it, and then I pack it up. Yeah.
Always good to check. So we'll see you next week. Enjoy the lights and the magic, and take care of yourselves.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Ann Ortley signing off from the turquoise desk in Florida.
Okay. Mark signing off from the Hudson River.
And Heather from the mountains of Montana. Good night.
The mountains, yeah.
Bye.
Good night.